morning. Today is Friday, October 26th. Wonderful sunrise staring me in the chops. As I'm trying to see the outline of Mr. Quimby.
There we are.
Weird imagery.
Easy on the weird.
Like a Halo-esque.
Oh, well.
That is very...
Very.
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 Yeah.
Almost.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You found one of our Why Do They Say That?
Well, this is interesting. Dominoes. How did the game of dominoes come to be called that?
Well, it used to... No, bones was dice.
That's right.
So...
Dominoes. The monks of a French monastery who invented it gave the game its name. The winner of the game was expected to recite the first line of the Vesper service, Dixit Dominus Domino Meo. Domino is just a shortened form of this line. That's it. That's
so
all there is.
So there's a Latin term.
That's all there is.
Very cool. Hey, sometimes simple is good.
Oh, frequently. What is that? What is that phrase for the simplest solution wins? There's a phrase for the simplest solution wins.
I would think it's like you get the job.
Yeah.
You get the contract.
You're hired. The job. You're hired. Go do it.
Oh, had an interesting seminar or series of seminars back in Massachusetts earlier this week.
You went?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Took me an extra day to get there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And a 30-hour day to get home.
It must be Dallas.
No, it was Cape Cod.
The
issue?
The flight.
No, the issue was fog at McKinleyville.
Oh, so it's nonstop.
Going out and coming back. So everybody who's flying today, enjoy the clear sky.
That's right.
But it was talking about, in this one gathering, communication, interpersonal.
Yeah.
Okay, presented by some sales folks, but listening to what is said, how it is being said, et cetera, et cetera.
Tone, pacing, time.
Well, and, for example, I'm sure you're familiar with this one. I've got two coins in my pocket. One's a dime, one is not a dime.
Yeah.
What are they?
You have two coins in your pocket?
Yeah, one is not a dime, and the total is 15 cents.
Oh, well, you
I know. I had to get it all out.
Then you had to get it all out.
Yeah.
What are they? They're impossible.
One is a nickel, and one is a dime.
Oh, the other one is not a dime. One is a nickel.
Yeah.
The other one is a dime.
Right.
Go to your room. Jeez.
Yeah, whether it's intentional like that or unintentional.
Yeah.
People say what they know that they're trying to convey. Right?
Okay.
The recipient.
So far, so good.
Doesn't necessarily grasp
the rules.
The meaning of what is being said.
Or the rules.
Yeah. And it got back to miscommunication, people believing that they know what was said, and maybe they know the actual word, but they don't miss the meaning. And I smiled because one of the comments that Holly put up was, one of the most powerful questions is, tell me more.
Oh.
Now, I was going to stand in the back of the room and raise my hand and say, I've heard that one a couple times,
I've heard
too.
That, yes, yeah. I know that one. Tell me more. But
so some of the...
Then you know somebody's listening.
Yeah, and how do you get through that veil of, here's what I'm telling you, you should understand the definitions of what I'm telling you?
Oh, that has to do with frame of reference. So, if you see, I got two coins in my pocket. They're 15 cents. One is not a dime. What are they? What's the other one? Right. One is not a dime. Then, well, okay, what is the other one? A nickel. So, you got a nickel and a dime in your pocket. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that has to do with how those things are proposed and the assumptions that people make about them. And that's when people get into trouble. That's where tell me more comes in handy. What does that mean? I don't know.
Do people...
Yes?
You'll love this one. Purposefully obfuscate definitions?
Oh, sometimes,
is that a power play? Or
is
that just...
Oh, it's a little lexicological Power play. Well, I don't know. My tongue.
Been practicing for an hour before the show
and
that one.
And I couldn't get it out, yeah. Oh, sure. People play with words, meanings, structure, that sort of thing. Right. And it's fun sometimes, unless it's critical. And if it's critical, then you can't play with it. That's like...
Or say it and then define it to help provide the clarity of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a technical term and it means something that is precise for the moment.
Well, I'm a flight instructor, and so in flying, there's lexicon that is prescribed, and there's order, form, and content that are all prescribed, so there's no surprises in what you say. So when people take freedom with that, they can get into trouble with instructions in air traffic control. The same kind of thing goes with interpersonal meaning. When you say, I love you, there's all sorts of variations on that. When a kid says, Mommy, I love you, and Mommy says, yeah, what do you want, honey? Because Mommy's not responding to the I love you part, but she knows the circumstances, the structure, the tone of voice.
She senses the setup.
And she senses the setup, yeah. So it's I love you doesn't always mean I love you. What else do you want, honey?
Maybe Winston can use that one later today. Take full advantage of the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yes, before others beat him to the punch.
Yeah, punch-wise.
Yeah, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:90.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby.
I thank you so much for the opportunity. I just can't tell you how much I feel honored.
Apparently the coffee's kicking in.
Coffee's kicking in. Yeah. Oh, mercy.
For folks who are not accustomed to the understanding that communication is as critical as what you experience and what a lot of folks experience.
Right.
How do you get them to recognize the benefits of that extra step, asking that extra question, being willing to share a little something more than what others will?
Well, what I tell people is the structure of communication. Something goes on in my head, and I say some words to you. So I'm encoding what I'm thinking into words, and then you take those words and you put them into your head and you decode them based upon what you think, what you feel, what information you have, what your background is, what your frame of reference is. So what happens is when people talk is one frame of reference encounters another frame of reference. Now Lisa and I have been together for 55 years, so our frames of reference are known to each other. They're not similar, but they're known to each other. So when she says, are you hungry? I know that that means that maybe she's hungry too. And she's asking me if I'm hungry because she's a placator and I'm a persecutor. I'm pushy and she's nice. Let's put it that way. So I don't really know whether or not it means she wants to cook up something for two of us, or she's really asking me, are you hungry? So if I'm not sure of that, I will say, why do you ask? And then she says, oh, because I was thinking about making some dinner. And I go, oh, okay, I'll have dinner.
Didn't know if you wanted
to. Which doesn't have to do much with whether I'm hungry or not. I'm old. I don't eat that much at a time. When I was younger, I would eat that much at a time. So she, are you hungry? I said, oh, yeah, I can eat. You betcha. Huh? And then she'd do something. So why do you ask for me is a intervention to find out what the other person's frame of reference is doing and whether or not it coincides with my frame of reference. So if, are you bored? No. Well, I am. What do you want to do? Let's go for a walk. Okay. That's pretty clear. But if it gets into, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Now, you get into a round to go with somebody trying to placate or
pull you into something else.
Pacify or pull you in to something else. So that has to do, that part of it has to do with what people are afraid of, if they're afraid to speak up straight and say...
Risk avoidance.
Yeah. And the risk avoidance in that circumstance often has to do with those three things that kids grew up having trouble with: anger, abandonment, and approval. And if they're afraid of, they won't approve of what I want, I want to go for a walk. That's rainy. I don't want to go for a walk. That's different. I want to walk in the rain. Okay, well, that's clear. Then I'll get my umbrella, and away we go walk in the rain. I don't care, as long as the intention is made clear. But people are often afraid of saying clearly what their intention is because they are afraid the other person won't approve, won't like it, won't go along with it, won't adapt to it.
So, and because intention is so often personal.
Oh, definitely.
That's
personal.
The link to risk.
And a lot of this stuff goes back to childhood about whether or not you can speak up to your parents or not. For example, mommy, I'm mad at you. And then daddy's listening and says, don't you dare be angry at your mommy. She's a saint. Oops. There's a childhood twist that'll get you into serious trouble later on, particularly when you date. And then if you want to get married, and then you're married to a saint because that's your childhood training. And then how do you tell a saint to shut up? That's a problem. You can't say that to your mother. You can't be irritated with your mother. You can't be angry at your mother. Really? Why not? She's a saint. So if that stuff gets stuffed into you in childhood, you're stuck with it unless you change it as a grown-up. So intention plays a big part in that.
Nuances. Are they as critical as what some believe?
Well, nuances can lead to other things. You know, one nuance generates another and another, and pretty soon the course corrections get more and more and more and more until your last nuance is way off target, and somebody says, go stuff yourself, and you go, what, something I said? Well, it's a result of several nuances that got missed, misunderstood, not cleared up. Nobody said, what do you mean, tell me more? Why is that important to you? That's a good one, too, is why is that important to you? Well, sometimes it's important because it's a matter of dignity, which goes back to childhood issues of dignity, some of which can be quite subtle. So children grow up learning how to talk to their mother and their father if they got both. And then there's rules that both of them generate about how that should go.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby.
Yes, indeed, I am.
Wait for the clue to say talk.
Wait for the clue. I'm sorry.
Oh, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Lou, the concept of picking up on nuances.
Yeah.
There's the spoken. They're with inflections and tones,
yep,
and pacings and cadences and all that stuff. But it seems to me that where most miscommunication occurs, and whether this is computer or texting or anything else, or mono-y-mono, is picking up on the nonverbals.
Right.
How do you... Is that an entirely separate skill set?
Oh, no, no, they're all, that's all interlaced, that's for sure. When you're talking to somebody, mano a mano, face to face, as it were, part of this is structure, what you know about them and where they come from. This has to do with general knowledge about if you're dealing with African-American, Mexican-American, Native American, white Anglo-Saxon, yellow, brown, all these cultural things that have to do with how people establish and maintain and generate meaning. So why is that important to you is a question, is a rational question. But sometimes people get all bent out of shape when you say, why is that important to you? Because they may assume that you should know why it's important to them based upon their cultural experience. You follow me there?
Or it could be a challenge because they really may not know why.
Right.
They just know that they are.
Yeah.
The introspection. Yeah.
So I've been fired by Native Americans before because I didn't understand their culture, their nuances, their how they interact, what's ritually important, for example. Shaking hands, for example, around the world is not universal. And I read, but I've never had the experience, but if you stand close to some cultures, they will stand close to you so they can smell your breath, because that's one of the ways that they determine who you are and what kind of a person you are. And so they talk very face-to-face, very close.
Like inside the space bubble that most
of
us have got.
And that's, yeah, and most of us Anglo-Saxon white round eyes would find that very discomforting. And other people, it's normal for them. So if you're a salesman, after World War II, when Japan opened up industrially and economically, there was a lot of American guys that went over there to sell stuff to the Japanese. And it took, they would get off the plane and have an overnight where they recovered some from the jet lag. And then they'd go for a lunch meeting with these people and try to sell them something. It's not happening. Because in Japanese culture, then it took 2, 3, or 4 meetings just to kind of settle in and get to know each other. And they didn't do business up front. They had to do lots of small talk.
Judging and learning the individual.
And lots of looking, yeah, at each other, judging and assessing each other's range and windage. And it made some of these business people just nutty because it took so long. They didn't have the patience. They expected to wrap that deal up, sign the paper, get the heck out of there, get back to work in the United States. So there was sub-industry after World War II of teaching people how to deal with the culture, the Asian culture. And that went on well, it's still going on now, but the big push started then about how to understand different cultures. Well, the same is true for Latino or
pick
a culture group, yeah. And then you get the interface mixture with changing culture, like there is in Southern California, for example. And a lot of that is, why is that important to you? What meaning does that have for you? And if the meaning that it has for them relies heavily on how they feel approached in terms of dignity, better pay close attention. Because if you insult somebody, and it doesn't, an interesting thing for me was, it didn't matter if I insult somebody knowingly or unknowingly. It doesn't matter.
The insult was received.
If they feel insulted, too bad for me. If I didn't get it, I'm history. So a large part of sales thing is understanding the other person's frame of reference. Personal, individual, relationship, culture, local and far away and historical, understanding their frame of reference.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We will be back.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
KINS, News and Information Time's 8:46. Impatient to get the ball rolling yet again, Mr. Quimby, sir.
Thank you kindly for the respect.
Well, I was more momentum than respect.
Oh, all right. Thank you kindly for the illusion. Thank you kindly for the illusion.
Sorry, I kind of poked that balloon on you.
No, that's okay. I had my balloon poked many times.
If folks are dealing with cultures that they're not familiar with, okay, whether it's, and let's say it's religious, because that you might be able to recognize it, you may not. Okay, because it's not a pigment issue. It's
right.
Not,
you know, it's conceptual.
How do you
experiential?
If you sense something maybe askew,
yeah.
How do you tiptoe without either saying, you know, I didn't take the time to really do enough investigation to understand you.
Oops.
Or when you don't want to offend, how do you play it safe in a situation that you sense is starting to get pretty tense?
Well, safe starts with respectful. So if you're working in a situation where you encounter religious differences on a regular basis, it's important to find somebody who is kind of bicultural religiously, and then ask them about what the rules and regulations are and the mores, the standards are in about that religion. So if I don't know anything about Catholicism, then if a Catholic wants to see me for therapy, there's some blind spots in there. So the safest way for me to deal with that is on a different venue, talk to somebody about what the structure of the religion is, what the requirements of religion are, and why that happens, right? So after
that's you when you know that somebody is Catholic.
Right.
Let's say that question isn't asked, overlooked, unintentionally, but it's not asked.
Oh, you're going to walk into a brick wall, which is part of the problem.
Okay.
If you look at Sharia law for Muslims, and women have to dress a certain way and cover themselves all up and all like that. If I go into that with my Western values about women, quote, should, unquote, be free to do what they want, I'm going to run into all kinds of resistance from the women who live under Sharia law, who may identify with the aggressor, that's the males, and have their own reasons for their clothing and their, quote, their place, unquote, in society. But interestingly enough now, women can drive in Saudi Arabia alone. They don't have to have a man with them now. So I'm going, oh, that's an interesting little break in that armor, is women can drive an automobile alone, which means they can go someplace in public alone because they can drive their car alone. Well, now that has an effect on how they get out of the car at the parking lot and when they go shopping alone. And then there's different requirements in different areas and subsections of the Muslim world. So it's interesting to know those things than to ask about them. So if a woman comes to me in a full burqa, I got some questions to ask.
And again, it's probably like the elephant in the room, right? Small bites.
Yeah, small bites. Yes.
Don't challenge the whole culture.
Right, no,
no. Question, yeah.
Don't go up against the whole elephant.
Oh, thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See everybody tomorrow morning.